Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring. Have you ever heard the expression, money talks? For most of my life, if money talked, it must have been saying goodbye, or else I needed a hearing aid. However, money does talk, and it will tell on you. You ever notice that many people become uncomfortable when a pastor talks about money? Everyone is happy as long as he talks about grace, mercy, faith, love, or heaven. However, when the subject turns to money, some become extremely quiet, while others just tune out what he's saying. Ask the Lord, why is it that your children react so negatively when the preacher talks about money? The Lord's answer truthfully kind of startled me. He said, it's because their money will tell on them. He went on to say that everyone at church is supposed to love him. However, he said, we can never know who really loves him until we spend about 30 minutes looking through their checkbooks from the last few years. Only then can we know who really loves our Lord. What I just said may surprise you, but the following verse should make it clear. Matthew 6:21 in part says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Notice our Lord doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. He says where your treasure is, your heart will be. In other words, your heart or your interest will follow your treasure. If you put your treasure in a motorboat, your heart will follow it to the open seas or a lake. If you put it in a motorhome, your heart will be on the open road. However, if you regularly put your treasure into the things of God, your heart will always be with Him. Do we serve Him because we're such wonderful people? Or is it because over the years, we've kept our treasure invested in Him and His work? When my fine wife Bev and I made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we each committed to tithe and give generous offerings. How thankful we are that we had the spiritual discernment to trust God's word and put our finances into His work. We simply believe God's promise that wherever we put our treasure, our hearts will follow. Now, there's some misunderstanding about money. In fact, the majority of the church misunderstands what the Word of God teaches about money. But I'm sure not those of you who join our Rich Thoughts for Breakfast program or call on a regular basis. Too many Christians make the mistake of thinking money is evil. We've all heard people try and argue about the biblical message of abundance by saying, but the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say any such thing. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. God never wants money to rule our life. If we start to love money, it will not be long before it becomes our master, making it impossible for us to properly serve God. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money. So here's a fact. Money takes on your personality. The truth is that money's neither good nor bad. It simply amplifies what's in the heart of the person who controls it. For example, evil people will spend their money on evil things, while good people will spend their money on good things. There isn't any such thing as good money or bad money. Instead, there are good people with money and evil people with money. Your money never decides how you'll spend it. It buys and accomplishes what you decide. If a gambler or a prostitute were to give money, well, if they were to give an offering to the church, well-meaning people might say, The church shouldn't receive gambling money, or God wouldn't be pleased if we received prostitution money. I beg to disagree. He would. Yes, he would. First, it means the gambler, the prostitute, or the drug dealer are now going to church and understand enough to give. Second, some Christians don't realize that when money comes into control of a man or woman of God, it stops doing what its previous owner wanted it to do. Once money transfers to an obedient child of God, it starts feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and preaching the gospel. It begins to accomplish God's purposes. A righteous person's money exalts the things of God and destroys the works of the devil. A number of years ago, a racetrack owner gave Oral Roberts University a large sum of money. Strange as it may seem, there were a number of good people who decided to stop supporting university because of that gift. They felt the university had done something contrary to the Word of God by receiving racetrack money. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Do you think this really so-called racetrack money turned Brother Roberts, the professors, and the members of the student body into gamblers? Do you really believe its influence started dragging them down to the racetrack each weekend? Of course not. People don't take on the personality of the money they receive. The money takes on their personality. Knowing Brother Roberts and the good people associated with the university at that time, it's safe to say that every cent of the racetrack money went right into the work of the ministry, educating young people and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the earth. Now, we also need to understand that our money is our life. Many believers argue against prosperity because they don't really understand what money is. Once you know that your money takes on your personality, it's easier to understand, even at a deeper level, that your money is your life. Here's a simple illustration to prove it. After you work 40 hours for your employer, he doesn't pay you out of the goodness of his heart. He pays you in exchange for the 40 hours of your life. In other words, the amount of money you receive in your paycheck replaces the amount of money of your life that you gave to your employer. Think of it this way. You don't purchase an automobile with little slips of paper called money. No, you actually buy with your life. That is, the amount of money you spend earning, the amount of your life you spend earning the money to pay for your automobile. Same thing is true with your house, your clothing, and anything else you purchase. It all comes through the exchange of your life for money. When you fully understand that your money represents your life, offering time will be more significant to you. It will no longer be the collection of little slips of paper called money. It will be a time when you, as a child of God, lay down your life in the form of money so the world can know Jesus Christ. Money is a spiritual subject. Let me say that again. Money is a spiritual subject. Each time you place your tithe and offering into God's work, you're literally giving a portion of your life to God. Your life in the form of money has the ability to accomplish more for God than you ever thought possible. Your money, hear this now, your money can do more. Scripture tells us that everyone in the body of Christ has a sacred commission to preach the gospel to every creature on planet Earth. Matthew 28:19-20. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It would be impossible for you to fulfill this command as an individual. You can't personally go to every country and city of the world. However, if you can turn your life into enough surplus money, you can literally preach the gospel all over the planet. If you have enough money, you can fund a missionary journey to Africa while you purchase Christian books and tapes for China. And maybe even from your hometown. You can fund a meeting in the Philippines while you fly a missionary home across the Atlantic Ocean. If you have enough money, you can preach the gospel through television, radio, the internet, Christian ministries, 24 hours a day, on every square foot of planet Earth. If Christians had control of the money of this world, every television or radio station would be a Christian station. In fact, every amusement park, restaurant, shopping mall would be a Christian enterprise. And they would all bring great glory to God. The devil knows it's to his advantage to keep money away from you to accomplish his plan. He has instituted an anti-prosperity doctrine that seems to permeate so much of the church. If he can keep the church poor, he can keep us from reaching the world for Jesus. We can't let that happen. We can't. And the key to that is understanding what the Bible has to say about money. When you do that, you'll know that your money will tell on you. I can tell somebody's priorities in less than a minute by looking at their checkbook. It will tell me where your treasure is. It'll tell me where your heart is. And make no mistake about it, there's a kingdom accounting for what you do with the money that God's entrusted to you. See, it's not your money. It's God's money. We've taught this before. Maybe I need to teach it again. It's not our money. It's God's money. We're just a steward of it. Question is, how good a steward are we? Think about it. Go to haroldherring.com. Click on the button that says sow a seed. Ask God how much he'd have for you. So, particularly, just do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts.